Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, something I've been thinking a lot about these days is this. As people of God, we are all living miraculous lives in one way or another. It's a stunning miracle that Jesus saved us, that He transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Jesus. It's a miracle that there are new mercies waiting for us every morning. It's a miracle, a meticulous miracle, listen to this, that God is able to work all things together in your life for the good. Not some things, all things together for the good, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And that's not all. When we get to heaven, we're going to see the countless ways God intervened, how He provided, what He prevented. And I believe we're going to fall on our knees in absolute gratitude and awe of the miraculous story that God crafted with our lives. So I want you to start telling yourself today, I'm living a miraculous life. I'm living a miraculous life. Now, even so, it's true. Life on earth can pack a punch and leave us breathless. And we wonder how we'll ever get back up again. You know what we do, though? We get up again. We're called to live an overcoming life. And I'll add, we're called to make the devil sorry he ever messed with us. Today, we're talking about an overcoming life, and you're going to hear a story from an overcomer. She's walked through much heartache, but God has and is redeeming her story. And the thing is, she's not sitting idle just waiting for things to happen. She is serving God with her might and her strength. Chantel Dudley joins me today to tell her story. A quick announcement before we get her on. She is the founder of the Real Life Women's Conference, and I love the idea of the Real Life Women's Conference because there's no facade on stage, no pretense. We're all coming together to be real and authentic because the hero of our story is Jesus. Well, guess what? I'm speaking at this conference. Chantel's speaking at this conference, and it takes place this weekend. So if you've got plans, if you can change them and make the trek to Bemidji, Minnesota, October 21st and 22nd. At the Sanford Center Ballrooms, the Real Life Women's Conference. We both are going to be there, and we're so expectant of what God is going to do. Another quick announcement, if you've not checked out our free app on Faith Radio, you've got to, especially if you're traveling. It's free. You can download it in the App Store, and you can listen live or live stream the podcast, or catch the podcast, I should say, anywhere in the world at any time. So fantastic. All right, now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Chantel Dudley wears many hats. She's the wife of Kent Dudley, the mother, listen to this, to 17 children. Granny to 8 children, with the 9th grandchild on the way. She's a speaker at women's events and the founder of Real Life Women's Conference. She has worked in the Christian music industry for many years. She's an event coordinator and artist liaison. She has a heart for the broken and the hurting. That's so true. She herself has gone through abuse and speaks about the freedom of forgiveness. She and her husband have gone through great loss as 5 children have passed away. Wow. Chantel's heart for going through real life issues with transparency and honesty is what inspired her to dream big and start the Real Life Women's Conferences. Chantel, welcome to the show. So good to have you.
Hello, Suzy. Thanks for inviting me.
Looking forward to having our listeners hear your amazing story. Let's start here, though. What has the Lord been talking about these days?
You know, there has been a lot to unpack. We have walked the grief process, as we'll get into, but as I walk down that road, there's so much to unpack. And I think for me, with the life that I lived as a child, fear was very prevalent in my life. And as we become mothers, as we become grannies, some of our worst fears, I mean, we think about them, we try to hand them over to the Lord. But as children have passed away, fear has really crept up in my life. And so a scripture that I say constantly is John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And that brings me so much comfort that no matter what we're going through, I will not find peace or comfort any outside of the Lord, and that this is not a surprise to Him. My life has not been a surprise to Him. Our losses have not been a surprise to him, but he's there with us through it all, walking with us through it. And so for me, I've wrestled with it and I have found peace with it. You know, it's been a process for me.
Yeah, it really, that's just the reality of living in the tension of the now and the not yet. The promise of God's now presence in the not yet of some of the deepest desires of our hearts not being fulfilled quite yet and somehow learning to find that place. But Jesus said it's possible, so I love that so much, Chantel. Mm-hmm. How about this? It's a question we're going to be adding in the days ahead as well. We'll start with you. What are some of the things you're thankful for, and how has gratitude impacted your life?
Well, my husband was a chaplain in the long-term care facilities for many, many years, and he always told the elderly that he worked with, you cannot be thankful. You cannot complain, excuse me, all the time about every little thing and have a heart of thankfulness. And so for me, focusing on being thankful for what I do have, being thankful for what the Lord has brought me through, being thankful for what he has redeemed already, you know, that the thief tried to destroy in me. It's a reminder constantly. In fact, the shirt I'm wearing today says, give thanks. And I wear it often. I have another one that talks about, I choose joy. And I wear them often on my rough days. And it's just a reminder to be thankful, to reset my mind on the things of God and what I am thankful for. And then I don't dwell nearly as long on the things that I'm upset about or the things that have hurt or that I've lost. We can't have it both ways. We either we're thankful or we're not. We have a heart of gratitude or we don't. And I think constantly bringing our thoughts and our focus into what God has done for us is the way for me to start my day and to continue through my day.
I really believe gratitude opens our spiritual eyes, you know, and grumbling makes us spiritually blind. I believe that so strongly. It's really the Israelites when they started to grumble, you know, scholars say that there was a point where their fears became rebellious. And I've struggled with fear too. Chantel, I've been very honest about that. But that really rocked me a number of years ago when I read that you can get to a point where you're clinging to your fears more than you're clinging to God, where your fears become an affront to God and they become rebellious. And so while he aches because of our trauma and he's tender with our weakness, he invites us to faith and gratitude because he knows that's our strong place. That's our sweet spot. So, wow, I love that. Let's go back to your childhood. Give us a little backstory on your childhood.
Yeah, I'm the only girl in my family. My mom and my dad were married up until I was about 8 years old. My dad is a Vietnam veteran, and he struggled with a lot of PTSD and a lot of the things in his younger years, alcohol and drug addiction and stuff. My mom has struggled with mental illness, which I didn't find out about until I was in my later years, that it had been a struggle for her when I was a child. After my mom and dad divorced, my older brother had started somewhere within that year and a half, he had started sexually abusing me. I found out as he got much older that he also struggled with mental illness, and he had been diagnosed as a later in his teen years. But he often used fear. He tried to take my life on 3 different occasions. I watched him use fear and intimidation with other people and with animals. And so as a real young girl, I became very, very fearful. And I believed what he told me, you know, of never speaking about it and that he was going to succeed in taking my life. So even, you know, as a young adult, I was constantly looking over my shoulder, constantly afraid that he would find me. Eventually, my youth pastor and his wife did a youth night, and the topic was sexual abuse. And, you know, it was one of those moments where you're watching the video, you've got a room full of teenagers, and they're very uncomfortable. So they're fidgeting, and they're laughing, and they're doing things teenagers do, you know, when they're uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice that sounded vaguely familiar saying, stop, this stuff really happens. when I saw that everybody was looking at me, I realized that voice was mine.
Wow.
And, you know, it came out that day for the first time, what was going on at home. And my mom had been remarried. My youth pastor and his wife had my mom and stepdad come up to the youth room after their evening service was done. And they told my parents what I said and what was going on. And you know, they seemed sympathetic at the time. But when we got into the vehicle, it was, this does not happen. It has not happened. And we'll never talk about this again.
Wow.
And it was, it was packed up in a box and put away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
For me, you know, of course, it, you know, you hear about the dark secrets that happen in families and that things are never talked about, and it's generational and some of the things that families go through. But for me, you know, as a young teenage girl, 13 years old, I was pretty traumatized that it, I finally said what had been going on, and I was told, we'll never talk about this again. Hmm.
It's like a double trauma, you know?
It is. It's very, very painful. You know, I didn't have my adult brain at the time that, and my rebellious streak saying, no, we're going to talk about this. This needs to be talked about. You know, I just said, okay, I guess we won't talk about it. And so it did continue. It continued for a while, for a few years, actually. We ended up moving. The state we were living in ended up taking guardianship of my older brother because he was in a lot of trouble with the law.
And was that the same brother or a different brother?
Yes, it was the same brother. It was my older brother. Hmm. And so we left state, and I started to feel safe. Eventually, you know, 15-year-old girl, 16-year-old girl started hormones, whatever, ended up started dating a boy in school that my parents did not agree with. They didn't want me dating, which, I mean, as a mother now, I totally get it. Back then, as a rebellious teenager, you know, I did what I wanted to do and have paid the consequences for it. But I ended up dating this guy, ended up moving out at the age of 16 and finding out that I was pregnant. And
I'm going to have you pause here because we need to take a break. But I just want to say, if you're a teenager who had the courage to speak up about a trauma and then you're shut down, you know, of course there's going to be rebellion. I'm just, I mean, of some kind where it's going to be like, if I'm not safe with you, you know, I'm going to take matters into my own hands and act out on. I mean, it's just such a natural response. And so I'm so grateful that God knows that and sees that. And he had his eye on you the whole time, Chantel, and had plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope in a future. People are going to be amazed, really, at how your story has unfolded. Talking to Chantel Dudley, she's the founder of the Real Life Women's Conference. And again, she will be, and I will be there too, in Bemidji this weekend at Sanford Center Ballrooms. I think there are still tickets available. October 21st, 22nd. It's going to be powerful. More from Chantel about her story in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Chantel Dudley. Our theme today is an overcoming life, and Chantel certainly has lived an overcoming life. Quick note, she's the founder of the Real Life Women's Conference. They're in several different locations this weekend in Bemidji. I will be there speaking both Friday night and Saturday. There may or may not be, may or may not get you up to dance, so you don't want to miss it. If you got plans that are changeable or your calendar's open, would you join us? It's going to be powerful. But in the backstory, Chantel talked about growing up, when her, did your father leave, did you say, Chantel? He left because of PTSD from Vietnam. Well, then once the father was out, her older brother started to sexually abuse her over and over again. And after a youth group message one night that was on sexual abuse and kids were snickering and laughing, Chantel was the one who said, stop laughing, this actually does happen. And she kind of confessed for the first time what had been going on at home. And when her mom and stepdad were called into the situation, they just, once they got in the car, they said, we'll never talk about this again, and shut it down. So as you can imagine, when Chantel was dating age, dated someone that wasn't probably best for her and moved out at age 16. And then you said right before the break, you got pregnant as a teenager. Take it from there.
Yeah, so I found out that I was pregnant. You know, I began meeting with my pastor and his wife. I repented, went before the church and repented, and we started making plans to move me back home to my mom and stepdad. I was 4.5 months pregnant the day that my pastor and his wife dropped me off and prayed over our family. You know, the door shut and my stepdad said, go upstairs. And I knew it wasn't good. He was a very harsh, legalistic man in leadership within the church that we were going to at the time. But he was very harsh. And that evening, he beat me. And I ended up miscarrying my 4.5-month-old baby. And eventually, you know, got very, very sick. I could not pass the child. And, you know, his response to my mom was, let the Lord decide whether she live or die. Well, I started to become very angry then at the Lord as well, because I was extremely sick. My mom
and he's representing the Lord as you know, and that in your home and in the church. That's just infuriating. Wow.
Right. You know, and the reason I share this part of my story is because this is happening in some homes.
Yes.
And I have had women and young girls reach out to me when they've heard that part of my story, and let me know. And so I'm able to share with them the end of the story and how loving God is. And that is not his heart. That's some hearts that men have, you know, that man has.
I have a quick question before you move on, though. Well, how did the youth pastor find out about this? Were there any repercussions at church for what he did?
It was actually our pastor that we ended up meeting with eventually. They knew that something had happened. They didn't know what had happened. Eventually, my pastor and his wife moved to Minnesota, and they brought me with them. So I moved the day before my senior year of high school to finish high school to help take care of their 5 children while they started a church in Waconia, Minnesota, actually.
God bless them for their investment in your life.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they showed me love. They showed me unconditional love and that there is redemption. There's consequences, but there is redemption. And so I was able to really draw from that. You know, still a very, I don't know, I say a porcupine, you know, because of all of the pain and the hurt at the time. I was not tenderhearted. I grew up very angry and very mouthy as a defense mechanism. But eventually, after I graduated high school, I went out to New York, was a nanny out there, and then I came back. I was told that, you know, I couldn't really go back home. I think my stepdad was very ashamed of what he had done, and I brought shame on his family, is his wording. And so I didn't feel like I had a home to go back to. So I ended up getting married. I got married to a man who told me he never wanted to get married, and he wasn't lying. it just didn't work out. I had 2 beautiful girls from that marriage. I was still living on my own, away from the Lord, still very upset with him for what I felt he had allowed in my life. Because I was brought up in legalism, it was just very different thinking. There was not mercy and grace in my home growing up. And, you know, I ended up getting married a second time, and that ended up failing as well. And I was sitting in my apartment. My kids were gone. And I just said, Lord, I'm done.
And where were your kids when you say they were gone? Where'd they go?
My kids were at their dad's house for the weekend for visitation. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, it was just a very lonely place. I mean, literally, I was living in a basement of a house I was renting. It was very, it's a very picturesque way of showing how low, you know, I was at the time. And, you know, just in the basement of this home. And I just said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. This is not what you created me for. If you could possibly love me, if you are real, show me. And it was a cry from a shattered heart. And I felt peace rush into me that I had never experienced in my life. You know, I gave my heart to the Lord as a young child, as many of us do in you know, Sunday school and stuff. But as an adult, that peace was so tangible. You could hold it in your hand, it felt like. It was very powerful to me and something I had never experienced. And I began my walk back to the Lord that day. And I have never looked back. I have never regretted a moment of it, obviously. With that, the Lord walked me through the process of forgiving my brother, forgiving my stepdad, forgiving myself for the decisions that I made and the baggage and the wounds that I caused my children along the way. And I did. I had to go meet with my brother. I called my stepdad at the time. My mom and my stepdad ended up getting divorced. And really,
I want to know about both of these.
Difficult.
So, yeah. So we've got 2 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, but I want to know about both of these encounters. Start with the one with your brother, and I'll interrupt if I need to get us to break.
Okay,
but tell me about the one with your brother.
Good. Well, so I was instructed by the Lord to go back to Michigan where my mom was living and to forgive my brother. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. He's not there. He lived in Illinois. But I went to Michigan. As I walked in the door, my mom met me in the parlor and said, we need to have a chat. So I knew something was serious. And she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but your brother is here. He's dropping off your little brother. I'll make him stay outside. And I said, no, actually, I want to talk to him. He ended up dropping my brother off and he left. And the weekend ended. It was time for me to come home. And I got so sick, I fell on the kitchen floor. Couldn't get off the kitchen floor. And I heard the Lord say, I told you I want you to meet with your brother. I want you to forgive him. And just then the door opened. My brother thought I had left and he walked in. And I just told him, I said, I love you and I forgive you. I said, I'm serving the Lord now. And I said, I know you haven't asked for forgiveness, but I'm doing this for me. And I said, I want you to know that when you decide to accept the Lord, I want to be the one that walks with you to him. And he has not done that yet. But
how did he respond?
He didn't know how to respond. He put his head down. He didn't know how to respond. I could see the anger in his face at first, and then I saw a softness in his face immediately after that. I felt like I had done what I needed to do. I gave my mom a hug and I ended up leaving. And now he lives up here in Minnesota and I see him on a regular basis. My mom and my dad got remarried and he lives with them.
Oh my gosh, we have to stop here. So your biological dad and your mom
got remarried.
What? You need to turn this story into a movie. My word. Talking to Chantel Dudley. When we come back, we're going to talk about her meeting with her stepdad who beat her to the point where she lost her baby. And it seemed that was the purpose of the beating. My goodness, what a story. Chantel is an overcomer. You can overcome too. God can redeem any story. We'll be back in a minute.
Enough.
Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Chantel Dudley. She has an overcoming life. That's the theme of today's show, is an overcoming life. What an incredible story. Just a quick reminder, she is the founder of Real Life Women's Conferences, and there's one coming up this weekend in Bemidji, and I will be there too, October 21st and 22nd, Friday night and Saturday. If you got plans and they're changeable, I hope you'll do it, because we'd love to see you. Chantel's backstory is just amazing, and if you're just tuning in now, when the live show's over, it'll go to podcast. You've got to go back and hear. But just a quick synopsis, growing up in a home where her dad left because of PTSD from the war, that's when her brother, older brother, stepped in and started to sexually abuse her over and over again. And when it finally came out, they basically stuffed it down and said she wasn't to talk about it. So it continued. And when she was a teen, she started to date a guy that wasn't good for her, as that is such a typical thing for girls who've been molested. She got pregnant, and her stepdad, who was a leader in their local church, beat her up with hopes to have her miscarry, which she did. So you can imagine this story. So we're at the point of this story now where God is bringing some healing into her life, a couple failed marriages behind her. And you already talked about just facing off with your brother and saying, I want to be the one to walk with you to Jesus. I'm forgiving you before you even asked for it. And he didn't know what to say, but I think that is so powerful in setting you free, Chantel, praying that God would still grab a hold of his heart. And then now, the part of the story when you went to your stepdad, I just can't even fathom what that was like. Tell us about that.
That was hard. I think that was harder for me. You know, a relationship can be restored, you know, and you can have many good years. For me, the loss of a child was very heavy. It was something that played in my mind daily. I had four children at the time, but in my heart, you know, I had five and wouldn't know that child. But I ended up calling and writing to my stepdad. I wrote him first, didn't hear anything, so I tried calling him as well. I did find out that he did get the letter, and I just let him know that I don't hold any ill feelings towards him, and that I pray that he would come to know the God of grace and mercy that I have found and that I have come to know, and that he would not have to live his life anymore in the belief or the idea that God is so angry and hateful. And, you know, I have seen him a couple times since at my brother's wedding and different things. He has been cordial, but never anything more than that. Wow. And I have just decided, you know, it's a lot of self-talking before I was to see him of, I have chosen to forgive this man. I need to treat him with love and respect and kindness.
My goodness.
And, you know, with God, all things are possible, and I was able to do it. And I do still pray. I do pray for him, that he would find the God of the most amazing grace and love and mercy and compassion.
Yeah. Wow, Chantel, that's just remarkable. And I don't know if you guys caught in the going out to the break, she said her biological dad and mom remarried, which is kind of amazing. And I'm sure we can, maybe that another day, we can get into that story. But I want to, there's so much more to your story. You met the great Kent Dudley, Pastor Kent Dudley, who became your husband. Talk about that and all the children you ended up with.
Right. You know, if that doesn't tell you that God has a sense of humor, I share that all the time, that he would bring into my life somebody like Kent Dudley. I mean, he is very highly regarded and respected in the area. And I just thought, wow, what kind of a union is this? But it has been so wonderful and powerful. We are the greatest teammates. We have each other's back. We respect each other. We love each other. You know, we combined his three children and my four children, which is never easy. Blending families is not an easy thing, but we were able to do it, and we're all extremely close. About a year and a half after we got married, the Lord laid it on my heart that he wanted us to adopt. And so, being my happy self, I just looked at him and I said, I think the Lord wants us to adopt. Let's do it. And his response is always, go lay down or take two pills and lay down.
And call me in the morning.
Yes, exactly. See ya. But, you know, I left him alone. I just took it to prayer. I said, Lord, if you put this on my heart, you would put it on his heart. And after 3 weeks, all of a sudden he came up to me and he said, okay, let's talk about this. Show me the pictures. You know, we had anticipated that we would adopt one child. We knew that we wanted a child that was considered unadoptable, very difficult to place. Our oldest son has intellectual disabilities. Kent had an uncle with Down syndrome, and I had an uncle with Down syndrome that I was very close to. So that's kind of in the perfect picture, you know, of saying yes to the Lord. That's what we anticipated. But what he's looking for is our yes, and he will take it from there. And the Lord brought into our life Travis, who was extremely medically complex. He was everything that I said on paper that we would not do. And the Lord said, I will give you the knowledge and the wisdom to care for this child. And so we ended up adopting Travis. And he was the most spectacular little boy. After that, call after call after call, we have rejected several placements. We prayed about every one of them, but the Lord has brought 10 children into our lives, and they were all medically complex, very highly specialized level of care children. In fact, in Bemidji, we were known as the pediatric ICU. We took the children that even the hospitals wouldn't take in Bemidji.
Wow.
And, you know, it's amazing what God can do in and through us. I know what my abilities and my strengths are, and I guarantee they were not what the Lord saw in me. You know, I didn't feel that I was equipped or qualified to care for such beautifully complex children, but we did. And so we have adopted 10 complex children, all with developmental delay, intellectual disabilities, trachs. We had the whole gamut. I mean, we had a little girl on a vent. We had the whole gamut in our home. But, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's a tragic story. But I get to say that I'm the mother of 17 amazing children that had we not said yes, there was a level of healing that took place in my heart through my yes. And through my husband's yes, that the Lord, I think he'd been trying to allow that place in my heart to soften, but I wouldn't until I held our little girl, Renaya, and holding her and rocking her as she was passing away. I said, you are the balm that I needed. And I will be a better mother and a better grandmother because this in my heart has finally healed.
Wow.
And our grown children said that to me actually at her funeral and said, Mom, it was when you accepted this little girl and you rocked this little girl every day of her life that God healed you through her. And I said, you all need to be grateful for your sister, Renaya, because the Lord definitely used her to minister to me. And, you know, we don't know where our healing's going to come from. We don't know where the cries that we've cried out to the Lord, what he's going to use to bring that to us. But for me personally, it was through my broken children. And I'm forever grateful. You know, it's been a lot of pain and a lot of heartache standing beside the grave of 5 of my children. And it's not something we anticipated. We didn't feel like we had signed up for it, but it was what he brought us through. And I'm very thankful that he chose to use us and that he felt he could trust us with his precious children.
Chantel, there's so many thoughts and questions rolling through my head. But first, I'm wondering, your mom must be so proud of you. I mean, and I can only imagine the regret that she has for the weakness that she showed when you needed a protector. Have you had any of those kinds of conversations?
We have. She's actually going to be at the conference this weekend. She's been at every conference with us. There has been a lot of healing. There has been generational abuse. She was abused by a grandfather and an uncle. So were some of my aunts. And so through the power of forgiveness and me going back to Michigan and sharing my story and in our home church growing up, there has been a lot of healing that has come through that. But my mom is very, very proud. She is my biggest cheerleader. And I'm hers. I mean, we have become so close where once I felt like I didn't really have a mom. Now I've got my mom.
I could cry. I mean, I just think, you know, we did a whole week on freedom a few months ago, and we did a real specific, a whole network-wide day on forgiveness and the power of it. But I'm thinking of most people would have harbored so much bitterness for how their parents let them down and blown up that bridge going, you know, you've gone too far. And it would, to this day, there would be a legacy of absolute brokenness. But because you, you know, with hardly any spiritual support, except God bless that pastor and his family, but really coming to a place where you love God so much that you're offering forgiveness, and you look at the bridges that are being rebuilt and the legacy that's being restored, and the story's still not even over yet. But I just want to honor you, because that while you're bleeding and hemorrhaging under your armor to be able to go, but I love you more, God, and I'm going to do what you asked me to do, that is the balm of Gilead. That is what heals. And it is, you're literally a walking miracle, Chantel.
Well, I am thankful that he did not give up on me. And the beautiful part is he does not give up on you.
That's
He does not leave us. He didn't cause this pain to happen. We live in a fallen world. And he's gracious. He's a gentleman. And he does not force his will on people. Therefore, just like they've made mistakes, I make mistakes. You know, and I often think, especially with my brother, who hurt him?
Right.
What relationship was robbed from me of having that older brother that is fun and a protector? Because Satan is so disgusting. He's so vile that he would hurt children to hurt people. You know, and I think if we keep that in perspective, because I've done my fair share. I mean, my children have scars from the mistakes I've made, and I've asked them to forgive me, and I've asked them to love me in spite of the mistakes that I've made. And not only that, take it bigger. God has forgiven me for my anger and my rage and my cursing him at times when I was a teenager and so hurt. He said, girl, I love you. You're my girl, and I love you, and I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to pursue you, and I'm going to chase you down, and I'm going to trust you with this ministry. You know, that's huge. The restoration that he offers each one of us, I hope that we offer that to others, you know.
Amen. Well, you know, you hear the phrase, hurt people, hurt people. My friend Melissa Coleman, who we've had on the show a few times, says, and healed people, heal people. It's just that, you know, it's one of the things we tackle often on this show is inner healing and restoration, because the healing and the restoration of our soul is what restores hope and restores a sense of God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And he is all about the human condition, not only saving our soul, but redeeming our story, because that's really, many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. When he sees what he does in you, many will see in here and put their trust in the Lord. That's why we're having Chantel on today. When we come back, I want you to talk more about some of the restorative work. I have a few more questions about these children that have passed, but also about how this idea for the conference was born in your heart and what has the fruit been from that. Talking to Chantel Dudley, she is the founder of the Real Life Women's Conference, and one is taking place this weekend in Bemidji. Make the road trip. We're going to have so much fun. I'm speaking Friday and Saturday, and so is Chantel, October 21st, 22nd at Sanford Center Ballrooms. We'll be back in a minute. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you.
Praise you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Today's show is all about an overcoming life, and Chantel Dudley has lived and is living an overcoming life. Her backstory is almost unbelievable. You think about being repeatedly molested by her older brother as a child, and then when it came out, her parents said she couldn't talk about it. Her dad was gone, and her mom had remarried, and as a teen, she acted out. There was so much pain and anger in her heart. She dated someone she shouldn't have, got pregnant when she went back home to her mom and stepdad. Her stepdad, who was a leader in their church, told her to go to her room, and she knew she was in trouble. She's 4 months pregnant, and he beat her, wanted to beat the baby out of her. She miscarried. So this is the heartbreaking backstory. You can only imagine what that was like, walking all that out. And now she stands here with married to an amazing man of God, and together they have 17 kids. It was a blended family, 4 and 3, and then they adopted all of these special need, medically complex children, one after another after another. And before we get to the restoration part, and perhaps this is part of that restoration part, but how did you manage 17 children, 10 of which were complex situations? I mean, did you guys have in-home, you know, healthcare help with that, or how did you do that?
Yeah, the children that were adopted from the foster care system all came with medical insurance, thankfully. And so there was that help, and then we also had nursing staff and PCA staff in the home with the kids, but they weren't all 17 in the home at one time. So that definitely helped. You know, we had 9 children in the home at one time. Yeah.
And five of them passed. Were those from their medical issues, basically spinning out of control, or what happened there?
Yeah. 4 of them were. You know, we had been approached to adopt Renaya. We knew that she had a shortened life expectancy, and so we said no for a few months. We just said, you know, that is not what we do. We take in children, and we believe that we'll find them the right help. We'll take care of them, and that they will live and have, you know, a good life. And so we said no for many months, and one day I was in my closet reaching down to grab a sweater off of the floor, and the Lord showed me a vision. It was the only vision I have ever had, but he showed me her funeral, and there were 2 people there. And I said, well, that's sad. There's only 2 people there to mourn her death. And he said, you're missing it. There's only 2 people there to celebrate the life she did have. My husband was out mowing the lawn. I called the social worker right there and said we would take her, and then went out and let him know. Congratulations, Daddy.
Oh, you are something. He's probably used to it by now, but oh my goodness.
He's very used to it. Do I recommend that for everybody? No, but he knows me very well, and he knew eventually, I think, this little girl was going to be in our home. You know, and so we took one child that was considered palliative care. She did live 2.5 years. She ended up passing away first, and then our other daughter, Kaya, passed away 10 months later, and hers was from acute pancreatitis, and she passed away in the hospital. Jeffrey then in 2019, Jeffrey passed away, and we did have hospice involved with him for the last 4 weeks of his life. And then 6 weeks later, just, you know, out of nowhere, our first child that we adopted, Travis, passed away. And so I was in a place of unbelievable grief, deep grief. Wouldn't come out of my room. I became very fearful. I was afraid that I was not doing a good job, that I did not see that these children were going to pass away. And it really spiraled me, I guess. And truthfully, that's where the idea for Real Life Women's Conference came to be born. It was many, many months later, sitting in my room, searching for speakers, women speakers that have been through extraordinary things in their life and that talked real about their pain and their struggles, their doubts, their fears, their hurts, but also said, but I made it. God brought me through this. I am still standing today. I'm still being used by the Lord. And for me, that's what I was searching for. I mean, if you go back in my Google search, that's what I was begging the Lord for. I did come across a few. Susie, you were one of them, you know, and that's why you were asked to be at the conference, because there's so many people that during that time of grief, we would hear, well, rejoice. Don't be sad. Wipe your tears away. Smile. They're in heaven. What are you so sad about? You should be so thankful. And I thought, but they're not in my arms. I don't know how to be thankful right now. Yeah. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm missing my children. And so what I was searching for, and the reason that this conference was born, was because things have happened. Either we shot ourselves in the foot or somebody else shot us in the foot. We still have a hole in our foot. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn how to help bring healing and mending to the brokenhearted with our words and the things that we do and say, so that we don't turn them off towards the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that was a place where I was at, and the way I was feeling was, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just be happy? Why does this feel heavy? Why am I crying so much today when I was fine yesterday? You know, and I think there was just there's a big piece missing in the world of compassion while people are going through things, but they love the Lord, you know?
Well, you know, I think your grief shows how invested you were and are with these children. They're your children. And it's like anybody who loses a child is going to walk through that kind of palpable grief. And what we do such a disservice, and I've been on the receiving end of that same kind of stuff about don't worry, be happy. And people who, you know, they're so extreme in standing in the promises of God that they look at any sorrow, any sadness, any grief, any hard days as a weakness. And it's like, that is just not, I mean, Jesus is a man of sorrows, and there are so many brokenhearted people. And when I'm around people like that, I'm like, you're not going to be someone I share honestly with, because you're not safe. Right. And so the fact that you wanted to build a conference that was safe, I mean, when we did our first one with you last year, and just every person on the stage, from your musicians to your speakers, were just so brutally honest about their journey. But it wasn't like, you know, getting stuck in the muck. We were all proclaiming the faithfulness of Jesus. And I just think it's such a great idea, Chantel. And I mean, talk about some other ways that you've seen God's restoration in your life.
You know, I think for me personally, obviously my parents getting remarried was huge. And, you know, my mom will hear this eventually and she'll go, well, wait a minute, because she knows the truth of it. And the truth of it is that I sat each one of them down separately and I said, don't do this. Don't do this. You guys were not good together. But they are not who they were. And so to have my parents back together after 35 years divorced and be grandparents jointly with my children and with my grandchildren, that's been such a blessing. You know, it has been such a blessing. I have watched, now our last son, I talked about four children that passed away, but our last son that passed away, he actually was fairly healthy. And I made phone calls. He needed a valve replacement. I found the best doctor. I interviewed many. And the day of my son Mathis's surgery, he got an air embolism and he never woke up. And it was tragic, because it was the last thing we would have thought that we would be walking through in March of 2020. Wow. And we had come to a place of reconciliation, of acceptance, of working through the grief of our other four children. And really, you know, our first conference was supposed to start in 2020, and then COVID hit. At the week before that, our son passed away. And you know, we just said, what is this, Lord? We did decide to have him be an organ donor. He was a superhero. He had been through a lot in his life, and he always wore superhero costumes. And we said, we're going to put an exclamation point on this story. This is not going to be a period. And so we did the process of him being an organ donor. And that has brought us healing. But at the same time, we've really had to walk through the questions of, but why? We understand at some level with the other children, but this little boy, a week before, we had talked about his plans for his future, and he was brilliant. I mean, he was just a smart kid, sixth grade reading level in second grade. I mean, he was a very smart little boy. And so it was very difficult. And one thing the Lord has been showing us is, I am there with you through every storm. You're not going to understand the reasons why. You were not going to understand them now, the reasons why. But there is a greater purpose. He does have a plan. We don't have to know it in order to get through it. And one thing that I've been constantly using, I used it all the time with the part of my story with the sexual abuse, is the card that we carry in our back pocket. But we're trading that card in, that pain in, for his purpose.
Got to stop right there. So powerful. Chantel Dudley's my guest. If you're able, join us in Bemidji this weekend at Sanford Center for the Real Life Women's Conference. Wow, God has just destined us, is filled with the Spirit of God to overcome. And yeah, the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Lord raises up a standard against him. We will overcome because Jesus overcame. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.